I think the title of today's message is easy enough to remember. The title is Remain, 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 Remain. I don't know if you noticed, but in that gospel, the Lord used that verb or that verb form 7 times in that short gospel. Every now and again, I overhear some of you talking about me. And you say, that pastor repeats himself a lot up there. Well, I learned it from Jesus. Seven times he says, remain in this gospel. And so the title, 7 times, is Remain, Remain. And let's talk a little bit about that. You know, the image is of the vine today, and we are branches on the vine. And again, we think of a grapevine, but there are other kinds of vines that we'll also talk about today. But I just want to say to you that in this image of the vine, it's very, very clear. The Lord says, look, I am the vine. I'm that main branch, if you will, and you're branches on that, and every single thing that you do, every part of your grace, everything that you have comes from me, and without me you can do nothing, nothing at all. And so it is that today the image of the vine and the command over and over again that we remain. Now let's take a look at some lessons about discipleship that we can learn from this vine imagery and what the Lord teaches us here. The first thing I want you to notice is the purpose of a vine is to bear fruit. And so Jesus says here at the beginning, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower. And he takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit. So then, what is our fundamental task as branches on the vine? And that is to bear fruit. Now, you and I aren't grapes. What are we? We're human beings, and so we have some fruits that the Lord wants us to bear. Now, I could go on and on all the different things the Lord, if you will, can bring about in us as fruits, but some of the basic things, certainly justice and righteousness and holiness, are at the heart of the fruitfulness that the Lord wants to give us. And remember, it's not something that you and I do, it's something we receive. Remember, everything comes from the vine. The branches receive everything from the vine. So the Lord isn't commanding us to bear fruit by ourselves. You be just all by yourself. You be righteous. You be holy. No, let me flow through you. Let my graces bring about these fruits in you. And so on. We could read, for example, in another set of the fruits is in Galatians 5. And it says simply here, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We can also go on to add other virtues from other places in Scripture, such as generosity and chastity and mercy and forgiveness and zeal for God and His kingdom. See, all these are fruits that the Lord wants to bring about in us as His grace flows through us from the vine, we the branches. So again, you see, the first, if you will, the purpose of those of us who are branches on the vine is to bear these fruits. But there's something interesting said that needs a little explanation. The Lord says here that I'm the true vine grower, I'm the true vine and my Father the vine grower, and He takes away every branch that does not bear fruit. Now, again, part of our, when we hear a text like that, it may alarm us a little bit. And I think part of the reason that it alarms us is that, first of all, the times in which we live emphasize very strongly the dignity and the rights of the individual. And there's nothing wrong with that of itself. But sometimes we forget that we're part of something bigger. We're part of a vine. with many branches. We're part of a church with many members, the body of Christ with many members. And the Lord doesn't simply look to our individual needs, but also the needs of the whole, the common good. And so you notice that the vine grower will see that when a certain branch isn't bearing fruit, it's therefore taking up energy from the branches that do, and he removes the branch. Now, I don't know anything about growing grapes. I've just never done it. But I do know how to grow tomato plants, tomato vines. And I know this, that when the plant is young, I look to it and I'm very careful to pull out certain branches that are usually called suckers. They come at the corner of a branch where it hits the vine, and they kind of come up in between, and they begin to pull away the energy from the main branch. And so you pluck those things, because they're not going to bear any fruit, and they're going to take away the energy from the branches that do bear fruit. So you see the vision, right? The idea is I have the whole tomato plant in mind, and I don't want the energy to be diverted. I want it to go to where it really needs to be. And so it is that all of us who tend plants and so on might be aware of some aspects of this. But listen. The Father loves the church. And you know, in our current times, we often want to just have a kind of a me and God thing going on. And I hope you have personal prayer. Come on, church. Are you praying? But listen, I want to tell you two hard truths of the five hard truths that'll set you free. And two of them, which are very necessary for us in modern times. The first thing is that your life is not just about you. The Father has other people in mind and your relationship with them. And so it is that that's the first hard truth. And the second hard truth is you're not that important. Now, I know that one hurt, didn't it? But God actually has some other folks in mind. You know, I was praying for the rain to hold off this morning for the May procession. And God has always told me with humor, Charles, he says, I don't do weather requests. You're not that important. I said, the farmers are asking for the rain and you're asking for no rain. Now listen, I don't do weather requests. I'm just being... But you see the vision. So often we think that all that matters is what we're praying about and what's important to us. And the Lord has in mind the whole church. He has in mind the whole vine, the whole body of Christ. And yes, there are just times where the Father has to say, this branch isn't producing. It needs to be removed. Now, there's a mystery to this. You know, God is very patient. Sometimes we may wonder the other end of the spectrum. Why doesn't he act any sooner? Why does he let some people do so much harm before he removes them from the scene? I don't know. It's all a mystery, isn't it? But you just got to know that part of the vine, the church, if you will, producing abundant fruit, is that the Lord tends every branch. And then when someone finally refuses to bear fruit, or even worse, begins to cause disease in the plant, that branch must be removed. And so this is part of the vision of discipleship that we've got to keep in mind. I hope you're all bearing some fruit. I know you're bearing the fruit today of praise. Amen? You're bearing the fruit of patience as you listen to me. There's all kinds of fruit. Amen? But I want you to say that if there ever comes a time when we start to do harm in a consistent way to the vine, beware, the Lord might need to remove us from the vine. Now, I just say that the first teaching on discipleship that comes from the vine is this, that the purpose of the vine is to bear fruit. And the Lord wants to bear fruit through all of us who are the branches. And the Father tends to us, the branches. He's the vine grower, and he tends to us so that we can bear fruit. But in some cases, a branch that simply will not bear fruit is and can be removed, because the purpose is to bear fruit. Now, the next thing is, not only is there a purpose in terms of the vine, but there's also a pruning that takes place. The text goes on to say, and every branch that does bear fruit, the Father prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Somebody say, ouch. Anyone here ever been pruned by God? Father, I'm being pruned right now. Tell him to make fast work of it, Father. Some of us, in fact, all of us, have experienced pruning. And pruning is unpleasant, to say the least. But it is necessary. And any of you who have raised children, you know that. You can't just let your children go on doing whatever. At some point, you have to prune them by saying, this far and no further. No, you can't watch TV. You will finish your homework first. Yes, you will eat this food. You will not eat that food. And so on. We have to set limits. We have to prune. We have to sometimes punish. All of these are things that are necessary, and we are God's children, and God does need to prune. There are just some things that start to grow and accumulate in our life that God has to cut away. Now, I hope you all noticed on your way into church today how beautiful, beautiful the roses are outside. Amen? You're welcome. Now, and I can't take full credit for it. Actually, Aaron, our maintenance man, does most of the daily work, and I do some of the, I work with him too. But I'll tell you something, church, every November I go on out there, and those things may have reached 7-8 feet high, and I cut them all the way back to a foot off the ground. And do you know something? Those roses protest. They say, Charles Pope, what are you doing to me? They talk to me. They say, what are you doing to me? It hurts. I don't like it. All my glory is going away, and you are reducing and humbling me. I just say, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And you know, if I tried to really explain to the roses, because they're just roses, what I'm doing, all they would hear is thunder. Because they're just roses, right? Roses can't figure much stuff out. But I know what I'm doing. And back in November, those roses out there were cut back to a foot off the ground. But look at them now. November has given way to May. And there's a glorious, glorious set of blooms out there, a vigorous growth. And you see, the Lord is the same with us. You know, when we're being pruned, we're just like rose bushes. Ouch! Cut that out! What are you doing? Father, how much longer? What's God up to? We get angry. We're upset. God just says, look, I know what I'm doing. But listen, when God, we say, God, give me an explanation. And all we hear is thunder. Because we're just human beings and we don't know. Our minds are so small, we don't see the whole picture. And maybe all God can just say to you is, it may be November now, but May is coming. And I'm doing this so that you can bring about more fruit and more growth. Church, I don't know. There's a mystery. Sometimes God gives us some gifts and we make use of them, and then God says it's time to end that now so something new can begin. Sometimes you got to let go of one thing to pick up something else. Sometimes God just needs to do that. I don't have simple explanations. I don't want to turn this into a slogan. Suffering is real and it's painful and it hurts. But God knows what He's doing. And if He needs to prune, He's going to do it because He loves us, not because He hates us. So again, we see. Now, I want to say before we go on to the next principle, though, there's something fascinating that the Lord says here. And if you want to avoid the big pruning, maybe you can do the little pruning. You know, I don't know about you, but I try to brush my teeth twice a day. And that's the little pruning. So that I don't have to have the big pruning, having my teeth pulled out because they've all gotten decayed. Amen? So if you do the daily work, sometimes you avoid the big pruning. Amen? And it goes like this. The Lord says, you are already pruned because of the word I have spoken to you. Did you hear that? You know, there's a kind of a daily pruning that if you and I undergo it, it's much less painful than the big pruning. Now, it goes like this. How does God's word prune us? Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and the Word of God judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. Hebrews 4:12. In other words, if we will steadily and daily read the Word of God, that has a way of beginning to prune in our life. It starts to cut away at some of the dumb attitudes that we have, the poor priorities. It starts to cut away at our mistaken notions, and it starts to help us to let go of certain things and attitudes, and perhaps it shows us that certain relationships need to be over and that certain things need to begin, and on it goes. But in sometimes, if you read the Word of God, it'll step a little on your toes, won't it? But let it. Sometimes that daily pruning can help us to avoid some of the bigger pruning that God has to do later. Amen? So again, the Word of God. Now listen, I'm not talking about some watered-down Word of God. I'm not talking about some prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about some compromised Word of God where the tough pages are torn out. I'm talking about the real Word of God that will console, but it will also challenge, that will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. The real Word of God. That's the word I'm talking about. That's like a sharp two-edged sword that can get inside us and really begin to cut away at the things that need to be pruned. Let the Word of God prune you, prune me, and then perhaps we can avoid some of the bigger pruning that sometimes God needs to do. So again, we see now regarding the vine, there's a purpose to the vine, to bear fruit. And likewise, we see that there's a pruning of the vine to help the vine, the branches, if you will, bear fruit. And next, we see there is a persistence that is necessary on the vine. It simply says here, and here comes our word, remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do a few things. Pastor, check that text. Because without me you can do nothing. Nothing. Remain, remain, remain. Now, the Greek word here, meno, is, to me at least, better translated abide, to abide. The reason I like abide more than remain is that you can remain somewhere a half an hour and be gone, but to abide means to habitually remain or live or dwell somewhere, to habitually be there. Amen? And that's what the Lord is saying to us. Abide, remain, stay with me. Don't go away. Continuously come to me in prayer. Stay close to me at every day of your life. Stay close, stay close. I tell you, you'll bear much fruit, but without me, you'll do nothing. Now, of course, we have the image in our mind of a branch. And once it's cut off from the vine, that thing's history, amen? It's going to wither, it's going to dry up, and go back to the elements. It's done because it's separated from the vine. You know, that's a pretty straightforward lesson, isn't it? Are you praying with me? That makes sense to us. But you know, isn't it funny how it isn't so straightforward when it comes to our discipleship? We think, Lord, you take a number, I'll be back. And we go off and think we're going to pull something off. It's clear that if you cut off a branch, it's going to die. But we don't live that way in our discipleship. And the Lord wants it to be that clear for us. You've got to learn to remain, to abide, to persistently remain and abide with the Lord. Now, what are some ways that Scripture says we abide? Well, let me give you four of them. The first is that we abide in God through His Word. The text here today, from today's gospel, in fact, says, "If you abide in me, my words abide in you. And ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you." So to the degree that God's Word abides in us, we're abiding in the Lord. So again, clearly, if our mind is filled with God's Word, that's a kind of a presence, isn't it? We're beginning to think more as God thinks, and we're often seeing things and being reminded of God, and we're always present to Him because our mind is so filled with His Word, with His thinking, with His thoughts. Our minds are transformed by God. So one way we abide is by being deeply immersed in the Word of God. That's the first way. Now, another way, of course, is Holy Communion. The Lord says in John chapter 6, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides, remains in me, and I in him, in her." So again, Holy Communion, regular daily communion if you can, or certainly every Sunday getting to Mass. Church, some folks say they don't need to go to church. Some folks say they can watch it on TV. You can't get Holy Communion on TV. No. They can't give you Holy Communion on TV. You can't get Holy Communion just sitting home and reading your Bible. You just got to come to God's house and receive His body and His blood in Holy Communion. You just got to do it. It's one of the ways He says that we abide in Him. So we abide in terms of His Word, likewise in terms of Holy Communion. Secondly, we abide with Him through prayer. He says to us in Matthew 18, He says, "Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And so again, the Lord comes to be present among us when we pray, especially when we pray together, when we pray with each other. And then fourth way we abide in the Lord is by the keeping of the commandments. Again, today's second reading said this, "Those who keep the Lord's commandments abide in Him, and He is abiding in them." So again, as our whole behavior, our thoughts and our mind are becoming transformed, our behavior begins to change, and we do what Christ would do, and we begin to abide and to remain with the Lord at all times. So are you praying with me? Abiding isn't just some vague sort of a thing. There's basic, practical things that we are expected to do if we want to abide with the Lord. And what are they? Prayer, Scripture, sacraments, fellowship, and walking uprightly with the Lord. So it is, the Lord says, remain, 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 remain. That pastor's repeating himself again. Repetitio mater studiorum. Repetition is the mother of studies. Write it down. Tell it to every young person that you know. Repetition is the mother of studies. And so the Lord doesn't just say remain once. I'm sure they got it. They got ears. They heard me the first time. The Lord knows us. The Lord says, these people, my people who I love, have foreheads of brass and necks of iron, and skulls that are so thick, it's like water on a rock. It takes 10,000 years, drip, 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 for it to finally get through that rock. Amen? So the Lord has to repeat Himself to us. All right, moving on. There's a purpose to the vine, a purpose, and that is to bear fruit. There's a pruning that's required. There is a persisting, namely that we remain and abide with the main branch. Otherwise, we're dead. We're not going to bear fruit. We must persistently, consistently remain with the Lord. Number four, there is protection. And the Lord tells it to us in kind of a negative way. It goes like this. Anyone who does not remain on the vine with me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. And people gather them and throw them into the fire, and they will be burned. Now, let me state, first of all, the positive principle here, and then the negative way is described. What the Lord is saying is, if you will let me abide in you, and you will abide in me, if you will let me hold you close, You're going to be protected. The winds may blow, but you won't get blown away with it, because I'm deeply rooted and I'm the Lord. Your anchor is going to hold within the veil in every high and stormy gale. You will, if you let me hold you close, you will have protection. You will be close to me and protected. But if not, if you get cut off from me, if you walk away, if you sever yourself from my protection, I tell you this, you're going to be gathered up by someone else and you'll be burned. Walk away from Jesus and you're going to get burned. Now, look here. The simple fact is, there's an old proverb that says, if I don't know who I am, anybody can name me. Now, it says in this text, notice, if you're severed from the vine, you wither. And people, it says here, people will gather them up and throw them into a fire. People will gather these withered branches and carry them off. Church, if you're not attached to Jesus, anyone can carry you away. You can get carried away by anything and anyone. If you're not attached to Jesus, you can get awful carried away by others and by other things. You understand what I'm saying? Anyone can, a slightest breeze and we're blowing around. We've got no stability, no roots. We just blow with the wind. We're lost, we're confused, and anybody can just come and carry us off. And anything can make us get all carried away. Are you praying with me? Don't get carried away. Stay with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Stay attached to the vine. And no one and no thing can carry you away. But go away from Jesus, and the slightest wind will carry you off, wither you up, and you'll be gathered and carried off to be burned. Pay attention, church. If I don't know who I am, namely a branch on the vine, if I don't know who I am, anybody can name me. And so it is, we're so easily carried away. So stay in the protection of the vine. Stay rooted in Christ. Have stability. Know who you are. Know how to discern right from wrong. Don't let anything or anyone carry you away. So we see there is a, if you will, a purpose to bear fruit. There's a pruning to help us. There's a persistence that's necessary that we remain with the vine. And likewise, there's a protection that's provided with the vine. And finally, today we simply have this. There's a produce that comes from being on the vine. The Lord says in conclusion, he says, look, he says, if you remain with me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you, because my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and are my disciples. Now, I don't have time to develop all of this at length. I just want to say this much about it. A lot of times, we want to bear more fruit. And it may be about stuff that really matters. Lord, I really want to make a difference in my children's life. Lord, I'm really praying to bring somebody back to your house. Lord, we all want to bear some fruit, amen? And the Lord is saying, look, if you remain in me, the Father can trust you. And when you pray, he'll give you what you want. You see, if the Father looks to you and says, here's someone who's attached to my son, and my son is holding them close, now, there's someone I can trust. And when they pray to me, I'm going to give them what they want because I can trust them with my blessings. They won't use it for frivolous and stupid things. They won't use it to harm other people. They'll take the gifts I give, and they will bear even more fruit. You want your prayers answered? Then use well the gifts you've already got. You want your prayers answered? Stay close to Christ. If you want to go off and do your own agenda, if you want to go off and be wherever you want to be and say, Jesus, I'll talk to you later. Father's not going to trust you. You want the Father to trust you and answer all your prayers? Stay close to Jesus. Bear fruit with him. And I tell you, the Father will give you whatever you ask. And by the way, when we're close to Jesus, we're not going to ask for dumb stuff anyway, are we? Lord, I want a Maserati. I don't know, do they even make Maseratis anymore? I don't know. Lord, give me the, you know, we're not going to ask for frivolous things, but the Father will love us. He'll trust us. He will give us what we ask. There's a saying from Luke 16, whoever can be trusted in And a little thing can be trusted in a great thing. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will give you true wealth? So again, stay close to Jesus. If you want your life to be blessed, if you want your blessings to multiply and blessings in other people's lives to multiply, if you want to be a real prayer warrior and really be able to change things through your prayer, stay close to Jesus. Remain. And the Father will give you whatever you ask. All right, church. I think you remember the title. Remain, etc., right? Listen, be like Mother Ruth, who said to Naomi in the book of Ruth, "Wherever you go, I will go. Your God is going to be my God. Your people will be my people." Be like Mother Ruth and say that to the Lord Jesus. "Lord, wherever you go, I will go." Be like the man who said to his wife, "Honey, if you ever leave me, I'm going with you." Remain, abide. I tell you, so much is accomplished just by staying close to Jesus. Through prayer, through sacraments, through worship, through reading of the scripture every day. I tell you, stay close to Jesus. Remain. I'm just mindful of an old hymn. You know, the Lord, sometimes we leave him quite alone, but he never leaves us alone. It's an old song that just says, "Never alone." I'll just read a couple of verses and I'm done. When in affliction's valley I tread a road of care, my Savior helps me carry the cross so heavy to bear. Though all around me is darkness, earthly joys all flown, my Savior whispers his promise, never to leave me alone. He promised never to leave me alone. No, never alone, never to leave me alone. Remain. Amen.